all of that expertise, you would know better than to use an example that gets everybody's attention and they totally miss the points. The snake is gone. Okay? I have had more feedback. 25 years here, I've never had this kind of feedback. Okay? I walk in for early morning prayer this morning. Carl Summers is faithfully here every Sunday, and he said, "I know about the snake. What was the rest of the sermon about?" Hey, Brandon Bodenhausen has a story that puts mine in the shade. Sorry, Brandon. His snake actually eats things. Probably the one down at my house, though, isn't it, Brandon? We just live across the pasture. Oh, he's not there. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that was all for my better half's well-being here. The snake is gone, okay? All right. John 8 this morning. 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Gospel of John. One verse today. One verse today. Somebody said, "Well, that means it's going to be a long sermon." Well, I don't know. Okay. Jesus said here, John says about Jesus, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Think about, again, we alluded to during our time of observing the Lord's table. These folks have no background. They have no background as far as who Jesus is. He basically appears on the scene for a short number of years, actually. He was about 30 when he began his earthly ministry. And so for 3 years, just 3 years. And so he is trying to tell these people, this great crowd of people by now, who he is. He's trying to communicate. They have no background. They have the scripture, but we've learned they didn't really understand that. They're wanting to make a lot of things up in the scripture, and they've misinterpreted a lot of parts of scripture, etc. And Jesus is trying to convince them, show them, help them understand who he is. So how do you do that? Well, he's using some object lessons. He's using some metaphors. He's trying to give them something that is tangible, something that they know about, to describe who he is. In chapter 6, he talked about the fact that he was the living water. They knew water. They knew what that was about. And he said, "I am the living water." They knew what it was to be thirsty. And so he's trying to communicate to them in that way. This Feast of Tabernacles that has concluded, and the celebration for those 8 days, part of that was where the water would be brought from the Pool of Siloam, carried with this entourage, this parade, if you want to call it that, to the temple. It would be poured out at the foot of the temple, the foot of the altar, I'm sorry. And Jesus was using that, okay? "I'm the living water." And he talked to them about being thirsty. Also a part of this celebration was in the temple, there was the court of women. And there were four huge lamps in there. And a part of the Feast of Tabernacles celebration is where those lamps would be lit. Now think fire, okay? We're no electricity, all right? And then the people would celebrate during this feast. That's part of the whole celebration. And they would dance through the night. Don't think modern culture dancing, okay? Because they're singing and they're singing praises to God at that time. And the place is lit by these four lamps. And so when we read today, when he said, I am the light of the world, he is referencing what they can see right there and how those four lamps lit up the room. And he's saying to him, I am the light of the whole world. The world is dark, and I am lighting up the world. Also, you notice here that he said, I am. I am the light of the world. Now, he has already said to them, I am the bread of life. And if they are paying any attention at all, they know somebody else used this I am statement, right? As Moses was being called by God there at the burning bush to go to Egypt and get the covenant people out of the bondage of Egypt to take them to the promised land, Moses is struggling with this whole idea. And he said, who are you? Who am I to say that you are? And God spoke to him there and he said, I am who I am. And so Jesus is trying to get these folks to understand, get a handle on just who he is. And he's using all of these metaphors and object lessons to get them to see that. And so we're going to delve into this morning, this idea of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Look at your life today. Don't look around. Don't look at the person next to you. Look at your life, okay? Is it light or is it darkness? It's one or the other. Is it light or is it darkness? One of those is you. Jesus said that he's the light of the world. So if your life is light, it's because Jesus Christ lives in you. Okay? You cannot be light of your own attempts, trying your own ability. If you said this morning, light, my life is light, it's because Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is shining from your life. If it is not light, then it's darkness. What's that? What is that? I know what darkness is. You do as well. We could turn the lights off in here and cover up the windows if we could, and we'd know darkness. But what's he talking about here? He's not talking about literal darkness, but he's talking about that darkness that came about because of sin. You see, there was no darkness before sin. And so when he's talking about darkness, he's talking about the result of sin. Paul describes it real well there in Galatians 5 when he talks about the works of the flesh. If your life is not light, let me describe it to you this morning. It is darkness. It's one or the other. There's no in between. It's not dusk or pre-dawn. It's darkness or light. This is what darkness looks like. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. That is darkness. That is darkness. If that in total or part describe your life, that's darkness. The light has not shined. We're going to get into the quick this morning. Remember the old fingernail thing when you trim your fingernails and you get down there too far? Okay? And then you get some rubbing alcohol and we're into that today. All right? Light or darkness? Everyone walks, and when you see walk in Scripture, lives, your life, everyone walks, lives in either light or darkness. Here's what we're talking about there. What is the practice of your life? Is it light or is it darkness? What is the continual habitual pattern of your life? What is the perpetual activity that you live out as you live your life? Key thought here. Where you walk, you with me? Don't wake up in the middle of this one. Where you walk is not dependent on desire. I don't know how many folks, and I've said it myself before I became a believer, okay? Well, I want to do better. Well, I'm going to try to stop. I'm not doing that anymore. No siree, I'm not going to go there anymore, or however you want to phrase it. All of that is desire, right? You know, somebody goes out on a big drunk, and they come and say, man, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Or somebody's taking drugs. Or somebody's sleeping around on their spouse. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. That is only desire. And where you walk, that continual habitual pattern of your life, is not dependent on desire. It's based on relationship. Where you walk, where you live, light or darkness, is based on relationship. Either the fact that the relationship exists or the relationship is yet to exist. It doesn't exist. You see, Jesus has already told us, as we study through John, the Father gives to the Son all He gives come to Him. Remember? Coming is believing. And when we come, when we believe in Jesus, all who come, He said, I will never cast out. That's relationship. That's relationship. He gives, He calls, we come, relationship is established. Therefore, you are a son or a daughter of the God of this universe. An heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Right? If that relationship doesn't exist, you are not related to Him. If you are related to Him as His son or daughter, then you walk in light. If not, you walk in darkness. That's what Jesus is saying. And He's introducing this idea, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness. You see, if you're following Jesus, He is light. He's the light of the world. So as long as you follow Him, and you will if you're related to Him, it's always light. Your life is light. You're a reflection of Him. He is in you. You are in Him. Your life is light. If not, everything else, darkness. Maybe this helps. Where you are establishes whose you are. Where you are establishes whose you are. If you are in Christ, the light of the world, you are His. He is your Lord. That's what matters. If you are not in Christ, you are in darkness, is what He's saying here. Disciples follow Jesus, provided that they have denied self and died to self. Now, the gospel writer John also wrote four other books in our Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Also are penned by John under the anointing, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I want you to flip over to 1 John with me this morning. Okay? Because John carries out this thought in the pages of 1 John. Listen to 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, there it is again, see, same idea. New book, same author, same thought. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we walk in fellowship. Oh, new word. Relationship, that is by coming to, believing. He calls us, we come. Relationship is established as we believe. All right? Now, fellowship is not a synonym for relationship. Different experience. Here's what it looks like, okay? We have three boys that they're related to me. They're related to me. They are my sons, okay? They are my sons. Our oldest one turned how 35? 36 yesterday. Woo! Okay? But I called Adam and I said, son, happy birthday. I am so proud of you. Are you dads telling your boys that? Huh? Girls also, but especially boys. Coming from dad. I would subscribe to you today that many of the problems that we have among children, especially boys today, is the fact of that broken relationship, that deadbeat dad, whatever it is, that is causing that ripple down effect to that son. I know I'm pounding around on your lower extremities now, but I mean to. Dads, wake up! You've got a responsibility that only you can fulfill. Step up and be a man. Love those young men. Hold them accountable. Hold them responsible. And start when you're holding them in your arms. And don't back up. And then when they get to be teenagers and all, you're not going to have the problems that too many folks have today. And I told that 36-year-old man, he's a medical doctor. I mean, he's you know, done well. Son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. We have a relationship. He's my son. I'm his dad. I can die tomorrow and Adam Wheeler will only have one dad in this life. Me! You see? Relationship. That relationship was created by his mother and I. And life was created and she is his mother and I'm his dad. Cannot be severed. But here some weeks ago, Adam and I hit a rough patch. Wasn't a big deal at all, okay? I think what it did is I challenged his authority as the dad of his family. Not in a bad way or anything like that, okay? But that's how he interpreted. Guess what happened? I didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. He didn't call, I didn't call. Fellowship was broken. Not relationship. He's still my son. But the fellowship. Where I could pick up the phone and call him or he would call me or that kind of thing. Wasn't there. And I told you, didn't I, Joanna? I said, there's something wrong. Well, mamas are always wanting things to be okay. She says, oh, I think it's okay. I knew it wasn't. I called him one day. I said, son, listen, I need your help. There's a passage of scripture I was looking at. And I said, I need your help. Son, you know I love you. And folks, it just molded right back into that fellowship again. Ah! If you're not in fellowship with your sons and daughters today, moms and dads, you get it done today. Fix it. You hear me? Fix it. You cannot change the fact that you're related to them. They're your son or daughter, and you must be in fellowship with them. And that's probably going to begin with, I'm sorry, if you're a son or daughter and not in fellowship with your parents. You get a hold of those folks today, and don't text them, call them, okay? Say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry, I love you, okay? All right. Because this thing of fellowship is so big. And here's what he's saying. If we walk in the light, John is saying, if we walk in the light as He, capital H, He, Jesus, the light of the world, as He is in the light, we walk in fellowship. That's what he's talking about. We're related. That's a given. But something happened and the fellowship was broken. What was that? Sin. Sin. Your sins are forgiven if you're related to Him. But the fellowship can be broken because He's going to say a little bit later in chapter 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when that confession occurs, what happens to fellowship? It's restored. It's restored. Listen to 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk, live in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do you see that? There are those many, tragically, who say, I'm all right, you know. I go to church. I put money in the offering box. I've been on a mission trip. I'm okay. I live like the devil the rest of the time, but, you know. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Salvation is not saying. Salvation is believing. Believing establishes relationship. Relationship results in fellowship. If you don't have relationship, you cannot have fellowship. As hard as you want to try. Now hang on here, okay? So we come from darkness to light. We come from darkness. Every one of us was born into darkness. We were born into sin. We come from darkness to light. You cannot go from light to darkness, though. I don't know what you paid to get in today, but it was worth your ticket. Okay? Once you are in the light, you cannot go to darkness. Now, folks, I don't know what you call that, but I call that good, secure. You see, once you're in the light, you cannot go back to the dark. You can't go back and practice sin. Because the light is in you. And, folks, if you want something to be happy about, that's it right there. Getting there and not able to go back. Okay? Because see, what he has to do is he has to go get all those sins, resurrect them, charge them to your account again, and go back and die on the cross. I'm sorry. The Son of God, the God of this universe, died once for all sin. You with me? And you say, well, that's what you Baptists believe. Folks, I don't give a rip about what Baptists believe. What I care about is what this word says, and that's what this word says. Okay? Now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus when that relationship is established. And new creatures can have fellowship with the God of this universe. And new creatures cannot become old creatures. Old creatures can become new creatures, but new creatures cannot become old creatures. If there is darkness, there was always darkness. If there is light, there will always be light. That's relationship and fellowship. Now, John spends a lot of time talking about this thing of fellowship in 1 John. Same author, don't forget. What does fellowship look like? All right? It is what we have described, but it's more. If you're in fellowship, you walk, you live, you consistently, you perpetually live and walk in light. It is the pattern, the continual, habitual pattern of your life. If you're a little bit confused, or somebody is confused that you know, just say, tell me about your life. And what is seen or what is described is either going to be light or darkness. So if we live and walk consistently in righteousness, in not sinning, habitually, continuously, we are in the light. Not because we're doing that to get in the light, but because we're in the light, we do it. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You live in Him and He lives in you. 1 John 1:3 says, you proclaim what you have seen and heard so that you too may have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and, if I can use this terminology, light people. All the other people in the light, you have fellowship with them. That's why that kinship with other believers, if you're a believer, is so precious and so necessary. Much of the rest of the New Testament is going to talk about the church and what that means and the relationship with other believers. You can only have that fellowship with the body of believers if you have fellowship, first of all, with the Lord of that church. I like 1 John 1:4. John says, if you're in fellowship, your joy is complete. You know what that means? You're okay with the way it is. You're okay with the way it is. It doesn't have to be better. It doesn't have to be different, faster, stronger, whatever. Your joy is complete. What more could you want than Jesus? Huh? What more could you want? Nothing else is lacking. There's not a 3/4-ton Ford pickup that'll get close to that even. Or whatever it's you're into. That's stuff. That's not going to give you joy. It might give you a tickle every now and then, but it's not going to give you joy. What you want is joy. Folks, that's what we're all looking for. And John says, when you're in fellowship with Him because you're related to Him, your joy is complete. Ah! When you're in fellowship, you know Him and He knows you. And you know and are learning to know that you can trust Him in all things. Anything you don't trust God in? Anything. You don't answer it, just think about it. Huh? Anything that you can't trust Him for? I'll answer it for you if you need me to. Nothing. If you are in Him and He is in you, you can trust Him in all things, for all things. Faced with a situation, you have His wisdom just by asking for it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Don't know what to do about something? Want to know what God is thinking about it? That's what wisdom is. Ask Him. He said He would give it. Why? Because He knows you. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're talking to him. He's talking to you. Ask him for the wisdom. Father, what do you want me to do about this situation? And notice this also, folks. You not only have his wisdom for the situation, you have his faith to see you through the situation. While, whether it's a minute or 5 years, while you are waiting, you're waiting in faith believing. Okay? Where did that faith come from? Him. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Okay? Faith is a gift. He will give you the faith. He will give you the wisdom in and for every situation. I like verse 7. When you're in fellowship, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's say that we do sin. Okay? Whatever. All right? It's not the pattern of your life. It's not the habitual pattern of your life, but you sin. All right? You pull out on Springfield on the way down to one of the eating places. Okay? And you start to pull out, and this guy cuts in front of you. Okay? You sin. You know, one of those kind of deals. That was in the list, though, anger. Remember that one? Okay, that was in the list. You're related to, you're in fellowship with, you sin. Uh-oh. It's not the pattern of your life. You're usually a good person. You don't get mad at people. You know, all those kind of things. But you did today. If we are in Christ, the blood we talked about earlier cleanses us from all sins. That relationship established that sin nature issue. The old man died. New creatures in Christ Jesus. But if we should sin, and I said it correctly, we don't have to, but if we sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. To restore what? Fellowship. Not relationship. You holler at the guy in the car, you don't break fellowship. You don't cease to be his son or daughter. But the fellowship is broken. Okay? And all we have to do is come and say, Father, listen, I'm sorry. I don't even know that guy. And I hollered at him. I got mad. Lord, I'm sorry. Please, restore the fellowship. Forgive me. Done. Done. Now what can you do if you are in fellowship? Or maybe what can you do if you're not in fellowship? You can't pray. You don't want to pray. You've been there. I've been there. You know? There's unconfessed sin in my life. The last thing I want to do is go to Holy God. I want to walk around and say, oh, I deserve that and I should have got it and they didn't do this for me. And don't we? We just have a pity party. He'll let you have a pity party for 20 years sometimes until you come to this place and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Then that fellowship is restored. We need to hurry, okay? Because I don't have a snake story today, so, you know. Sorry, Brandon, okay? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The fellowship is restored. Relationship, once established, is never impinged. Fellowship is. Now, we're also told here, as John is describing this thing of fellowship, look what he says there in 1 John 1. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, what does that sound like? I've not sinned. That isn't a sin. I'll determine what is sin. All those things, that's what we're saying there, okay? We're saying, I have not sinned. Look at what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We're a liar. The truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned in verse 10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Ooh, that's serious stuff. But if we are in fellowship, we will not say, I have not sinned. If we're in fellowship, the Holy Spirit who lives in us will bring conviction, and we will confess, and the fellowship's restored. Chapter 2 and verse 3, we keep his commandments. Not legalistically, okay? We're not bound by the law, not legalistically, but naturally. Because the law is a reflection of the character of God. All of that, you know, thou shalt not, okay? Why did God say that? Because he's describing righteousness. And so, when we keep his commandments, we don't do it legalistically. I did 1, 2, and 3, missed 4 today. No, huh? Not legalistically, but by nature. The reason you're not doing a lot of the stuff you're not doing is because of who you are. You used to, but not anymore. Right? We keep his commandments. In fact, we are holy because he is holy. You see that? Do you ever think of that? Holy Carl, you know? Holy, Jody, holy. That's what God looks at and sees. Wow. You see, what he sees us, he expects of us. That's the reason a person who continually, habitually walks in darkness is not holy. They are still lost in their sin. They can believe, but they haven't. But when he looks at you, if you are in Christ, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then he sees you as holy. Verse 9 of chapter 2. This is going to hurt. Not because I want to hurt, but because it hurts. Okay? Verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. That's a word that when those three boys I was talking about at our house, you could never say. Hate. You can't say hate. Okay? That's out of bounds, off limits. You can't say hate. Okay? One time Andrew got really mad and he said all the bad words he knew. Hate, stupid, dummy. You know, he really was putting on a tear there, okay? But hate was a word that was out of bounds at our place. You see why? You see why? Whoever hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in light and does not stumble. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, does not know where he is going, is blinded by the darkness. In fact, I would subscribe this. That's really not, there's no brother relationship there. Okay? Finally, we close with this, for sure. Kind of a summary description over in verse 15 of 1 John. This light life, life in Christ. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's a summary statement. Is your walk today like the world or like the light? darkness or light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said very plainly to us, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. When I am there, darkness is gone. And Lord, what a clarifying illustration. When you are in our lives, the darkness is gone. I pray, Father, that every person today is in the light. I pray that every person here, Father, is in relationship with you, a son or daughter, and I pray they're in fellowship with you. Father, if there is one who's yet to believe, it's not an accident that they're here today. Your word was a word for them. Come to the light. Come to the light. Believe. Become my son or daughter. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be your Lord. I want to be your Savior. If there is any this morning, Father, who have not believed, who have not come to the light, oh, I pray today to be that day. Oh, Lord, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing more reassuring. There's nothing more joyful than to be in Christ and to be in fellowship with Him. Call unto those, Father, that you will today. And thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making a way. In Jesus' name.